just come to a time now where we will consider some things from the Word of God. Just want to ask the Lord's blessing, particularly on the preaching of His Word. So we'll just take some time now to pray again. Father in heaven, we thank You now that we come to this time, brief time of considering You through Your Word, and we do pray that You would bless Your Word, help it to go forth in power, that Your Spirit may minister to the hearts, the needs of the people that we have here today. The speaker included, dear Lord, and pray that what we say and do and our thoughts would be pleasing in Your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We love singing, don't we? We love listening to good music. It's been a blessing to be here tonight. I think I was talking to Alicia. She said her dad, Pastor Mitchell, sings all the time at home. Just in the kitchen, random things, he'll just sing. And in fact, I'm guilty of that too. I don't sing when there are people around. Poor Chelsea will never be able to sing properly because she'll have my example to follow. But we love singing, do we not? God has created us that way, with a love for good music. God has made us with that desire in us. And the Bible talks a lot about singing and singing praises to God. And now we don't in the 10 or 15 or half an hour, I don't know how long I'll preach for. But we don't have time to exhaust all that the Scriptures say about it. God mentions singing in so many books of the Bible. I'll just give you a quick rundown. The Bible talks about singing in Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Judges, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Job, Nehemiah, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Romans, 1st Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Hebrews, James, and Revelation. That's a lot. There are so many references, and I think Pastor Mitchell was being cheeky. He said for this service, he said, have you thought about speaking on singing? You could just do a bit of a study on singing. And I think to look up all those references would take most of a lifetime. No, not quite that long. But it's a big job because God has a lot to say about music. But I want us just to spend some time tonight thinking about singing praises to God, because that's what we're here to do tonight, to sing praises to our God, is it not? And to join together and rejoice in this. But I want us to ask a couple of questions. Who can sing praises to God? And what should praises to God be about? And we'll see how we go for time. But there is a principle when you're studying Scripture. There's a principle of Bible study called the law of first mention. Now, some of you might go, that sounds complicated, but it's really not. If you want to study singing, you go to the first time singing is mentioned in the Bible. And that is found in Exodus. Not in Genesis, in Exodus. You find it that when something is introduced in the Scripture, it's introduced in a foundational sense, and that truth is built upon throughout the Scripture. It's not contradicted. It's just built upon and added to. So it's not in complete form when you find it first mentioned, but it's not contradicted in any way. You can see that with the devil. The devil's mentioned in Genesis 3 verse 1, and it says, now the beast, what does it say exactly? It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. That's the first mention of the devil. And then is it true? Certainly true. And is that truth built upon throughout Scripture? At the end in Revelation, we see that he is the one that will go out and deceive the nations. That's the last mention. So you see this truth introduced and then built upon throughout Scripture and then concluded. Sorry. I'm horrible for bumping these things. Is that still on? Sorry, Graham. So that's a good example of the law of first mention with the devil. But singing praises to God is first mentioned in Exodus. You'll note that it's not mentioned before Israel has been redeemed from out of the slave pit in Egypt. Do you find that interesting? They weren't singing praises to God before God had delivered them from Egypt and out from under the taskmaster that Pharaoh was. Did you know the time that they spent in Egypt is a perfect picture and a type in Scripture of before our salvation, of the world, how we were in bondage to sin and death before we got saved? Did you know that the Pharaoh that we find in Scripture here is a perfect type of the devil, of Satan? So while these Israelites were in bondage and under the power of the Pharaoh, they didn't sing praises to God in the Scripture. They couldn't. God had not delivered them. They had nothing to sing about, so to speak. But the first song recorded in Scripture is in Exodus 15. If you've got a Bible with you, please turn there. First time it's mentioned is in Exodus 15. And the last time singing is mentioned, it is in Revelation 15. And I'll read you those verses. We're going to look in more detail into Exodus 15, this first song in Scripture. But in Revelation 15, we read about a song. It says in verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvellous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. So the first song we'll look at in a little more detail shortly. And that's the last time singing is mentioned. We here see this song of Moses, the servant of God, isn't the same song sung back in Exodus. It's a different song. It's a new song, a song of the Lamb. The first song in Scripture we see is sung by a redeemed people. They've been bought out of that slave pit of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. And then we see those singing in Revelation are those that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an interesting picture. But the truth is only redeemed people can sing praises to God. Only those people that understand what God has done for them and rejoices in that truth can sing praises that are acceptable in God's sight. Only a redeemed people can sing praises to God. Singing is not a means to impress anyone. You see a lot of people out there sing to try and impress people. That's true, but it ought not be. Singing is not about impressing people. It's not about appeasing God or earning God's favour in any way. It's simply about an expression of what's happening on the inside. And an expression of the rejoicing that comes, the joy that we have as Christians in the deliverance we have through the blood. You know, the people of God sing because they're God's people, not to become God's people. These people you see singing tonight are singing because they've been saved by the blood and they want to rejoice in that and share that glory and direct the glory to God. Now, a lost person can sing Christmas carols, and at this time of year they will. You'll hear many lost people singing Christmas carols. They can sing the words, but they don't praise God. See the difference? Only someone who is rejoicing in what God has done is truly bringing praise to God. It reminds me of the illustration of those two men that recited the 23rd Psalm. Some of you are familiar with it. A man who's very well-spoken, an orator, you know, much renowned, stood up and recited the 23rd Psalm, and the house broke up with applaud. People were praising him, saying that was fantastic, and then an old man stood up and recited the 23rd Psalm. And with a stuttering voice and not well spoken, recited those words, and the room was dead silent. You could hear a pin drop. And the difference was that the first man knew the psalm and the second man knew the shepherd. And the people who sing praises to God are those who know the shepherd, those who know what God has done for them and can sing from the heart. There are many people that will sing at this time of year Christmas carols. I hear them in the supermarkets and the shopping centres. And that's a blessing in some ways, to hear people maybe being reminded or having their thoughts provoked towards heavenly things, something about the truth behind Christmas. But then when you see people with a microphone and they start singing and the attention is all upon them, you know that that's not praising God. There's a big difference between drawing attention to yourself and drawing attention to the Saviour. The world sings Christmas carols, but they don't know Christ. They sing to get the glory. So the truth is, who can sing praises to God? Well, the redeemed can. Those that have been saved. Those that have something to sing about. Not just to be able to memorise the words, but to sing them from the heart. So what are we to sing about, those of us that are redeemed? What should we sing about? Good example of some things here in Exodus 15, the first mention in the Scripture. If you look there in verse 1, I'll read it to you. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now this is talking about a song that was sang just after these people, the children of Israel, were delivered from Pharaoh's army. They travelled through the Red Sea, and the walls of water came down upon the Pharaoh's army. So these people have just been delivered, and they sing this song. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord. The first verse in this song is about the Lord and what he has done. If you look at verse 2, we read about how the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. So the second verse talks about the Lord, what he has done, and then the reaction of the people. So it's building. You see, we're rejoicing in the Lord, we're remembering what he's done, and then what is our reaction to the things that God has done? That's what we see in this song, in this example. And it goes on. Verses 3, 4, and 5 are about the Lord and what he has done. Verse 6 talks about the Lord who's glorious in power. Verse 7, his excellency and his greatness. Verse 8, his power. Verses 9 to 12 are also about the Lord. Can you see how much this song, the first example of singing in Scripture, is about the Lord? And as Christians, we need to follow that example. You know, there are a lot of Christians that don't, they sing Christian music, and I use that word very loosely, but it doesn't exalt the Lord. It doesn't exalt the Lord. In verse 13, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." We hear of his mercy, his leading, his redemption, his guidance, his strength, and his holy habitation. Now, is this song about entertainment? Is this make you feel good kind of lyrics? No, this is rejoicing in the person that God is and what he's done. And that's a great example for us when we sing praises to God. Verse 14 to 16 is about the fear of the Lord. Verse 17, we'll skip over. You can read it in your own time, just for the sake of time. Glance down to verse 18. "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." Does that sound familiar? Have we heard that sung tonight? "And he shall reign forever and ever." It's an amazing truth. You see it here in Scripture, the first example of a song. "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." Now, if there was time you could preach that the Lord Jehovah is Christ, you could preach the deity of Christ right there. But we are to sing about the Lord. We're to sing about his attributes, his mercy, his guidance, his strength, his holy habitation. These things that we find here are great examples. His power, his excellency, his greatness, his glory, his salvation. The list could go on and on and on about the things we can sing about our God. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense that if we're going to sing praises to God, we would sing about God. But the truth is, many people don't mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a couple of quotes here. Amy Grant says, "What we're trying to do is take Christian principles and make them understandable. Even if it doesn't say Jesus, it doesn't matter." Christian contemporary music. Rich Mullen says, "I'm really sick of all this heavy-handed Christianity. Musicians take themselves too seriously. They should have more fun. They should stop preaching unless it's what God has called them to do. If I want to hear a sermon, I'll go to church. Thank you." Sad, isn't it? Christian music. It's not Christian music. And it's certainly not praising to God. We need to be careful as a church that what we offer as praise to God in song is certainly centered on the person of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture, this first example in scripture, makes that very clear, that the focus ought to be upon God. And the rest of the Bible reinforces the same thing. Now, like I said, there's references throughout the whole scripture. We don't have time to look at many, but I'll just give you a couple. 1 Chronicles 16:9, "Sing unto him," sing praise, Psalms, "unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." Psalm 66:2, we read at the very beginning of the service, "Sing forth the honour of his name, make his praise glorious." Psalm 89, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." And we could read verses for hours on singing. Christian music, real praising of the Lord, is not entertainment. It's to be spiritual food. And Colossians talks about that, that we're to admonish one another. We are to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. So Christian songs are to be centered upon the Lord. And they're to be based on biblical truth, and they're to be sung by people who are redeemed. That's what praises our God. And tonight, as we've sung praises to our Heavenly Father and rejoiced in the gift of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's been true, I trust. That the songs have been centered upon the Lord. Amen to that. They have. They've been reflecting glory at him rather than on man, and they have. Praise God. They're based upon the truth of Scripture. In fact, a lot of those songs that we've sung tonight have been quoted from Scripture, which is a blessing. Singing praises is to be done by God's people. It's to be centered upon God and not on man, and it's to be based on biblical truth. This foundational song that Israel had in Exodus 15 is a celebration of God's deliverance, the salvation that he brought, how he delivered them from Egypt. But this song of Moses is almost transposed, or it's put into another key, so to speak, in Revelation 15. We read there that the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. This new song in Revelation 15 is very different from Exodus. Now, as Christians, do we sing about being delivered by God through the Red Sea? No, we don't. But do we sing about being delivered? In fact, if I asked you where the song of Moses is, most people wouldn't know. We might find it. But we sing a lot of songs about being delivered, about being redeemed, about rejoicing in what God has done. Isaiah 42 verse 10 tells us, "Sing a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth." This is a new song. This is something that the Lord has done, something different. And that different thing, this new act of salvation, is the gift of his Son that we remember at Christmas time. And as Christians, we have great cause for rejoice. We rejoice every day, I trust, Every hour of every day, we ought to be rejoicing in who God is and what he's done for us. And that should burst forth upon our lips, no matter how badly we sing. Because God doesn't really care about how it sounds. He is concerned with the heart. And if it comes forth from a heart that's redeemed and rejoicing in him, that is worthy praise in the sight of God. Worthy praise. And at Christmas time, we're going to hear a lot of singing. Some of it's about the Lord, some of it's about reindeer. As Christians, we need to make sure that when we sing our praises, it's based upon God. The first song in Scripture concludes with the line, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 11:15. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" What a blessing. Tonight the choir will conclude the service by singing the Hallelujah Chorus, which quotes this verse, Revelation 11:15. Now I trust your hearts rejoice when the choir sings in this truth, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, left heaven's glory to be born in a manger. Now that, if that's not amazing enough, he did that in order to die, to become the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. Thank you, choir.